2 Kings chapter 1. 2 Kings chapter 1. I've put that Bible right down here if anyone wants to see it before you leave tonight. It's worth looking at. Fascinating edition. 2 Kings chapter 1. Now, what we're going to do this evening might seem a little bit unusual. We need to pick up where we left off the last time because we need to see something in the last part of chapter 1 that leads us into 2 Kings chapter 2. The two passages may appear to only be slightly or mildly related because Elijah's in them both. They're actually more deeply connected than they appear to us, especially in English. And we tend to take, I've said this a number of times, we tend to take these accounts in the Bible and isolate them. This is the account of Elijah being taken to heaven in the whirlwind. This is the account of Ahaziah and his demands of Elijah and the two captains of the 50, and that's that. Can't do that. Shouldn't do that. The Bible is an integrated book. It all flows together. The chapter divisions, as I mentioned this morning, between Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, it's in the wrong place. It's in the wrong place according to the Hebrew even. That's not something we made up. So the idea here is that there are things that are occurring in chapter 1 that any preacher could preach on and stand alone and say, amen, see you Wednesday. Then there's things in chapter 2 that you could preach on and say, amen, see you next Sunday when you're all done. But you want to take them sometimes together. And that's what I hope we see tonight. So, remember last time we looked at chapter 1, Ahaziah fell off of the upper chamber in his roof and the lattice work there. He was injured seriously enough that he decided to seek advice from the wrong place. Remember that? The wrong place. Beelzebub. He sought help from a false god. And the lesson for us was, always go to the right place. We didn't get to the second point because we spent so much time testifying, which was a good thing, of what God has done in our lives, that in the missions conference, I just covered the one point. Now, recall this, though, that God has sent our friend Elijah to confront the king. Didn't we see this morning about believers confronting the king? Yeah. What happens next is a series of wrong or incorrect decisions that go along with looking for help in the wrong places. Always make the right decisions. 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Then the king sent him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him, to Elijah, and behold, he, Elijah, was sitting on the top of a hill. What we see here is Elijah is not hiding. He intends to be found. There was a time when Elijah ran from Jezebel, and he wanted to hide. Here he is no longer hiding. Progress in the development of the character. My wife's been picking on me all week about that. She wants to see some progress in the development of my character. Well, this captain shows up, and here's what he says. Look at what he says. He spake unto him, thou man of God, the king has said, come on down. Now, we live in the South. My mother is from the South. She's from Pensacola. And I remember for many years that the South was known for its genteel manners, its kindness and politeness. Even if they would stab you in the back, they still presented that front. That's what bless their heart means, right? Bless your heart means I can't stand this person and I want to tell him right off, but bless his heart. We literally had to warn our daughter about that when she went to Pensacola to go to the college down there 22, 3 years ago. Just remember, all the ants, all 10 of them, will talk sweet and all this stuff, but if you say one thing about one ant to another ant, they're going to circle the wagons. Bless your heart. So Elijah, verse 10, answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven. All he said was, if you're a man of God, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven, consume thee and your 50, period. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Oops. I guess he should have tried a little more southern charm. That's not the way to address the man of God. Now we know that this process is repeated. Look at verse 11. Again, also, he, Ahaziah, you got to keep your pronouns straight here. This he is Ahaziah, sent unto him, Elijah, another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And can we just observe that this second captain doesn't appear to be any smarter than the first one? He may have altered the way that he made the command, but he still made the command. It's an order. In fact, having had the unfortunate frying of the first 50, this second guy might not even be quite as bright a light bulb as the first one. In fact, same thing, verse 12. Elijah answered and said to him, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Now, why would this all be happening? Have you ever wondered about this? 102 men, captain and 50. What's the original question to Ahaz? Look back at verse 6. They said unto him, these were the original group of messengers that Elijah had met in the way, there came a man up to meet us and said to us, go, turn again unto the king that sent you and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? So that's the original question that was posed to Ahaziah the king. What we see here is Elijah is proving to the king by the destruction of 102 men, there is a God in Israel, because each of those captains were asked by Elijah if there's a God, if I'm a man of God. That answered the question. When God honors his prophet's request or his prophet's statement with the question, yes, there is a God in Israel. And it ought to be as obvious as it could possibly be to you. By destroying two sets of 50 with their captains, Elijah and God are providing two events of proof that there's a God in Israel. I hate to say it, but it reminds me of fourth graders on the playground. I sure pick on fourth graders a lot, don't I? I'm faster than you. Oh yeah? Prove it. So off they go, and the faster one beats him. And the other one says, I can still beat you, and they go off again, and he gets beat a second time. Really? Just don't seem to learn. These captains needed to learn how to make better decisions. They needed to make the right decisions. And the point of God's fire and Elijah's refusal to obey the king, it's time to teach Ahaziah the king and you and me the bigger lesson. Bigger lesson, always grasp for God. Always grasp for God. Where do you get that from, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Ahaziah goes to the wrong place. He grasps for the wrong God. And you have to understand something about Ahaziah's name. It is a compound name. The first part of his name is Ahaz. It's formed from two words, Ahaz and the Tetragrammaton, which is where we get Yahweh from. And the first part of his name, Ahaz, means to seize or to grasp something, to take a hold of it. You put that together with the name of Yahweh, and his name means Yahweh has grasped. Ahaziah's problem is he has never grasped Yahweh. He's never done it. He wants to grasp for Beelzebub. He wants to grasp something else. He wants to grasp Elijah, God's man. But he has never grasped Yahweh, and that's what his name means. Yahweh has grasped. Neither have the first two captains. If Ahaziah wants God, grasp the right one in the right place. God's waiting. He's waiting for... If you really study all these Old Testament kings, God has reached out to every one of them. Every one of them he has tried to reach out to and work in their lives and bring them back to him. It's still true today. God is sitting right now on his throne in heaven, waiting on people to grasp for him. He's always available. He's always approachable. He's always willing to hear. We so often want an answer. We want something to happen. We want to see something change, but God is right in front of us. He's right here with us right now. Likewise, when we so often go to the wrong places and the wrong counselor, we don't get the answer we want. Truth is, we don't have to go anywhere. He's present within us. If you're a true believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells you. Go here to the book. Let the Holy Spirit use God's word to speak to your heart. The answers are here. Now look at the difference with the third captain. Look at verse 13. He's sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah. The first thing you see is a completely different attitude, a better approach, a humble spirit. Look at the verse. And he besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Notice that there's no doubt there. There's no interrogative if you be a man of God. There is instead a pleading. I pray. We might say, I beseech or I beg you. See something else that's amazing. This third captain grasps what Ahaziah does not. He grasps the truth. This third captain understands what no one else has managed to grasp. There is a God in Israel, and this man Elijah has God's ear. Verse 14, the captain tells him, I know what's happened. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. Why did he not ask for the 50? Because he represents them. The other two captains, the 50 men didn't speak, just their captain did. This man speaks, and he knows that if Elijah and Elijah's God spares him, he'll spare the 50. The third captain explains what he knows about the previous two. He has figured out that their disrespect for God and God's prophet is hazardous to their health. It's sad. And I don't have an answer for you. Never propose an answer if you don't have it. Why those other 102 men, other 100 men had to die. The captains, I can understand their arrogance. Their denial of the fact of a God in Israel and that Elijah was his man. I get that. But the other 100, why? I don't have an answer. But it is sad that they had to pay the price for their leader's arrogance. And we pay the price in our country and in many churches. Some church folks pay the price for their pastor's arrogance. Boy, if any of you ever see me getting like that, just smack me upside the head. Please call me aside and say, Pastor, that was kind of arrogant and snooty. Don't do that. Okay, thank you.
I won't. I'll try real hard not to. Because I'll tell you, people who are in leadership and have even the smallest measure of
the smallest measure of success results in a huge, great feeling. It's disproportionate. And I don't want to be there. I don't think any of our Sunday school teachers want to be there, or any of our deacons want to be there. Look at verse 15. The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, oh, the angel of the Lord. Now, I don't know if that's a theophany or not. There's not enough context here to tell me. I kind of, if I had to render a guess, I would say it might be. I'll tell you why. Because in the very next chapter, Elijah is taken to heaven. And there's something about the proximity of these two events and Elijah's closeness and his walk with God, which tells me this might have been the angel of the Lord, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, right there advising Elijah. He says, go down with him. Be not afraid of him. And so he, Elijah, arose and went down with him unto the king. Okay, this captain will not kill Elijah. So the angel of the Lord says, yep, go with him. Don't be afraid. The statement, don't be afraid, indicates the other two captains were probably sent to just kill Elijah. This guy's been a problem for years and years and multiple. Just get rid of him. He's not telling me what I want to hear anyway. Get rid of him. Now the message gets delivered in first person. Elijah goes with the captain, and all this, the message hasn't changed. It's the same. Look at verse 16 through 18. And he said to him, this is Elijah to the king, thus saith the Lord. There's our formula in Hebrew. For as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Baalzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, thou shalt not come down off that bed on which you're gone up, but shall surely die. Boom. Nothing's changed. The message hasn't changed. Why not? Because the sinner hasn't changed. Ahaziah has not changed a bit. There is no progress in the development of this guy. He is stagnant. He's right where he started out. And this lesson ought to be very fresh in the reader's mind, because just a few chapters ago, look back in chapter 21, that wretchedly evil Ahab did have a change of heart. Chapter 21, verse 27 through 9, came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes, put on sackcloth upon his flesh, and he fasted, and he lay in sackcloth and went softly. The word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbled himself before me? Remember a couple of weeks back when we looked at this? If God said it, that must have been genuine. But in his, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring this evil or this judgment upon his house. If Ahab could repent and be genuine, so could Ahaziah. If God could forgive and withhold, or postpone anyway, the judgment on Ahab and his family, he could have done so for Ahaziah. And he will do so for you and me too. Isaiah 59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. As long as you're drawing a breath, there's a chance. Sadly, no change in Ahaziah. Not a bit. Verse 17. So he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. And then we get this bookkeeping kind of thing that happens a lot in the historic accounts. Jehoram reigned in his place in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now, the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Now, we could end our message right here And you'd get out at 6:35 or 6:40 and you'd go, wow, that was a great Sunday night. Right, guys? Yeah. See, they're not bashful. They. They can't do that. Probably a lot of preachers would do that. Now, we're going to enter chapter 2, but we won't be able to complete it. So no worries, fellas. You'll get home. We won't even get through the majority of it. But I do want to continue just a little bit into the beginning of chapter 2 because, as I mentioned when I started, there's this tie-in to chapter 1. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord is sending me to Bethel. And Elisha said to him, here's the phrase you want to get in your head for a second, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Does that sound at all familiar to you? I see Marianne over there grinning. Tell us, Marianne, who? Sounds like Ruth. Exactly. It's a point for the teacher. Sounds like Ruth. Ruth to Naomi. Nope, where you go, I will go. Where you die, I'm going to die. Your God will be my God. I'm sticking with you. Now look at verse 4 in chapter 2. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me down to Jericho. And Elisha said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Same thing. Look at verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. So let's see, they've gone from Gilgal to Bethel to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. There's a third time. Now, remember what we just talked about with Ahaziah and the meaning of his name? Three groups of 50, there are three captains, two of them are toasted, the third one gets smart. Ahaziah's name means Yahweh has grasped. The first and second captains didn't grasp anything. Ahaziah didn't grasp anything and he died, but look who does. Elisha. Do you see what the Bible did for us there? You've got it all set up in chapter 1. Even the meaning of the king's name and the lesson about what you grab for and what you don't grab for and how you listen to the instructions and whether you go to the right place. What does Elisha do in the beginning of the next chapter? He grabs for the right thing. He's grasping after God. Elijah is God's prophet. And Elisha knows it, just like Ruth knew it with Naomi. He just isn't going to let go of God's man. And that might be the greatest lesson of these verses. Grasp for God. Don't go anywhere else. Don't go to the wrong places. Don't make the wrong decisions. Don't grasp for the wrong things. Grasp for God. Elisha stands in stark contrast in the very next verses to Ahaziah. Elisha will grasp rightly. He will grasp properly. He will do the correct thing. He will grasp the right person. God's representative, the prophet Elijah. And when the prophet Elijah is taken out of the way, who's left between Elisha and God? No one. Elisha takes Elijah's place. And we'll talk about all those. This is why we can't do it tonight. We'll talk about all those things that happened with the transition of leadership from Elijah to Elisha. The blessings, the father-son relationship, the spiritual father-son relationship that they have.
how the sons of the prophets who are watching all this, we skipped those verses, they've been watching all this from a distance, how they respond to a new leader. Oh, it's filled with wonderful applications. But Elisha stands in stark contrast to Ahaziah. Ahaziah never did grasp the right. He never did grasp what was proper. He never did grasp the right God. He grasped for what was false. We have a lot of people in our world today, and a lot of them are in some of our churches, and they're grasping for the wrong things. They're looking in the wrong places. They're making the wrong decisions. Don't do it. Always go to the right place. Always make the right decisions, and always grasp for God. And my voice is just about shot. Father,